Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Friday, a World War III Friday. Oh, I'm kidding. Hang on. We're going to get to briefly on the Israel stuff here in a minute. It is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I have such great news for you. We are going to discuss some things tonight. Somebody, one of our listeners, wants to know, why can't we have stricter gun laws in the wake of all the Maine stuff? We're going to talk about that in a very frank way. Maybe you think that way, although I doubt it. We're going to talk about Dome and the political elite. Do they actually believe in the things they say, like grabbing your guns? We're going to address leaving your vehicle parked at the pump while you're getting gas and you go in. We're going to talk about prepping for the coming times, American history, why it's so far left, New York City sending illegals away now with one-way tickets, all that. And there's something else I have to discuss before we get into the meat of it here on the show. And this is me. Prepping the ground. I figure in the wake of what we may be going into here, I figure it's smart to prep the ground for tonight. This is me prepping you. You know how we do Ask Dr. Jesse Friday every single Friday, all 3 hours. Yeah, we hit up the big news of the day and stuff like that, but all 3 hours are dedicated to your Ask Me Anything questions. That's the whole show on Fridays. And we always handle it by email. What we, I don't think, have ever done. If so, we've done it maybe once. What we've never done, or rarely done, is take phone calls on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday night. And I will tell you, have you ever seen somebody who has a bad kid? He's just poorly behaved. And maybe they're really wealthy people and their kid's poorly behaved. And as soon as he turns 16... they buy him some brand new sports car that goes 0 to 60 in like half a second. And you're looking at that and you're thinking, that is a terrible idea. And that's going to end horribly. You know it's going to end horribly, but they do it anyway. That's me opening up the phone lines on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I know this is going to end in disaster, but I'm going to do it anyway. Not yet. An hour from now, we will begin. Don't even bother calling yet. There's no phone screener here. I know this is bad, but we're doing it. Now let's get rid of all that and let us begin. Here's how we're going to handle the Israel-Hamas stuff. And in case you're not aware of what's going on, well, that's why you're here, isn't it? For journalism.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
Israel, they cut the internet and they cut the cell service in Gaza, and that alone should have told you what's coming. And now it's here as we speak. Here we are sitting live, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Israel is rolling into Gaza. Now, I am not going to dedicate this show to 3 hours of updating you. We just heard that there are four tanks going down Allah Street. That's not going to happen ever. The reason I'm telling you this is if there is a major escalation being Iran getting involved, some kind of invasion from the north, American ships getting involved, and they could be, we will tell you. All right. We are aware of it. We're monitoring it. If there's a presidential address or something like that tonight, and there very well could be over the next few hours, we will bring it to you live. You are not going to miss anything. We are going to keep you posted on all the big stuff. If you would like every single minute by minute update, my goodness, what's wrong with you? But you're going to have to go somewhere else. Anything big happens, we will tell you. Now let's begin here because it is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You know, we don't do mass shooting stuff, so we're not going to do that. But I do want to address something that goes way beyond gun laws and mass shooting stuff. In fact, it was an Ask Dr. Jesse email from a listener. So this is a friend, not an enemy. But you know, this guy in Maine, he had some training that we know of, had a serious piece of equipment, mental health history, really, really bad, mows down a bunch of people. It was really, really terrible. And you know that the manhunt for him is, unless something has happened in the last 5 minutes, still ongoing. They think he's dead, from what I understand. They're looking in the water. They think he may have drowned himself. It doesn't matter, but they've told everybody, hey, the shelter in place thing is done. But I got this email when people in Maine were sheltered in their homes, doors locked. So I'm prepping everybody for what he's about to say. Just listen to what he has to say. Dear Jesse, as I write this, I am currently in my home with my family, doors locked and loaded. There is an ongoing manhunt in my area for a mass murderer. I won't go into details, so on and so forth. I have always been a staunch supporter of our Second Amendment rights, but this one hit a little close to home. As the commies line up to unleash their ban all guns rhetoric, I can't help but believe there need to be a few more laws in place to help keep weapons out of the hands of the truly insane. This psychopath had more red flags than you can imagine, and there was nothing done to disarm him prior to him killing dozens of people. Is it possible, this is his question, is it possible to give up a little ground on the Second Amendment, he says, like background checks and registration, to keep lunatics from owning firearms? This one hit close to home. He said, please don't say my name. God bless. And I will ask you, show this guy more mercy than maybe you're inclined to show normal people. This is a friend, obviously a man locked in his home with his wife and kids, afraid at the time. I'm sure he's fine now, and I'm glad everyone's fine, you know. But do we have room? Is there room to give ground? What about just some more laws? Why aren't there more laws in place? How should we handle this? A mass murderer did have a serious piece of killing equipment. Why wasn't that stopped? Okay, well, let's dig into this first and foremost. And this is not insulting the person who wrote this or anybody who's listening right now, especially people in Maine who maybe are raw, to put it mildly, off of that shooting that happens, really, really terrible. So this is not an insult to any of them. But did you know that it is a common practice? In fact, it's fairly universal from what I understand with all my cop buddies, that if a police officer has any kind of a personal connection to a case, that they are immediately removed from the case, whether that be a beat cop or a detective, no matter what it is. I'm a beat cop in uniform. I'm patrolling the streets of New York right now. Shout out to the great 710 WOR. And I get a call. Hey, we got a robbery in progress. I show up. We roll up. The guy's taken off, but the store clerk has been shot. He looks like he might die. He's wounded. And oh my gosh, it's my brother. Do you know the first thing they would do? The first thing the NYPD would do? They'd say, hey, Jesse, you're out on this one, bud. In fact, not only are you out on this one, you got the rest of the night off. Get back to the station, turn in your gun, you go home, you're not in trouble, you go home, you sit this one out. Why? I mean, don't I care more than anyone else? It's my brother. My brother's dying. Wouldn't it make sense that I am the most qualified cop at that point in time to track down whatever piece of trash shot my brother? Doesn't that make the most sense in the world? Well, no. Because the truth is, while emotions are not a bad thing, God made us with emotions for a reason. So they're not a bad thing. Happiness, sadness, anger, all these, you're made to have these things. Thinking with your emotions is almost always a bad thing. Therefore, when you're emotional about something, you either need to calm yourself down before you address it, or you need to remove yourself from the conversation, from the decision-making process completely. If you're emotional about something, you should not have a say in that something for the most part. That will almost always result in better decision-making in the end. Look, you could argue the problem with the country is, you can call it feminized, but the truth is the men are all feminized too now. People love to make decisions with their emotions, and they'll brag about it now. They're not even ashamed. I said that when I was mad. They love doing it. I'm really mad, and that's why I should be in charge. No, that's actually why you should have nothing to do with this decision whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. If you're a man currently afraid for his family's life because there's a despicable mass murderer on the loose, I sympathize and I pray, and this is the day after, so I know you're fine now, so I'm glad about that. But you're in a mental state where you shouldn't have any say. Now, let's talk about giving some ground. Why can't we give a little ground? Let's give a little ground, right? After all, just a couple more laws. Let's discuss that. Before we get to that, let's discuss how do we get all this gunk off us? Well, I don't know how you get the day's gunk off. I take a shower. And what, Chris? And I shower a lot more than I used to shower now. And that's courtesy of MyPillow. One, it's nice to shower now that I'm buzzed, now that my head's buzzed because I don't have to bother with shampoo anymore. And two, I now have these My Towels from MyPillow. And they're just the greatest freaking towels ever. Because I remember when we first got married, I had these towels and they were a little rough, but they dried you off. And the wife, she moves in. They tend to do that after you get married. And she buys these, you know, nicer towels. I think we went to Target or something like that. And they were very soft. Don't get me wrong. And I remember complaining first day, babe, these just push water all over. I've just dried off and I'm still soaking wet. Why can't we have both soft and absorbent? Well, now you can. And My Towels, 50% off right now. As low as $29.98. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special Square and use the promo code Jesse and get yourself some amazing towels. All right? MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You know, I'm like I said, about 45 minutes to an hour from now.
Yes, I'm going to get to the emails you emailed in, but we are going to do a very, very, very rare, I don't know that we've ever done it before, take calls on a Friday. And I know that it will be a disaster. I feel like my own execution is coming in about 45 minutes, but we're going to do it anyway. All right, we're going to do it. Don't call yet. The call screener isn't even here. Let's get back to guys. We're talking about the Maine shooting, not really about that, but essentially someone emailed in and he said, hey, what about some gun laws? Hey, I'm locked in my home with my family. What can't we give a little ground? And I was just, first of all, I said, when you're emotional about something, no matter what, you should sit it out or wait till you're not emotional. You don't make decisions when you're emotional. That goes back to something I've talked about, honestly, when it comes to politics in political candidates, honestly, the primary. The presidential primary. I've told you who I'm voting for. I've told you why, but I don't spend all day on it because there are way more important things. And I've tried to explain. I'm just going to call this how I see it because I don't get emotional about any of them. And most people fall in love with a candidate. They do. They fall in love. Well, as soon as you fall in love with somebody, you can't see straight. I remember, everyone knows what that's like. Whether it be a woman, man, a sports team, a political candidate. That's what I say. When you're in love, you don't know. So rely on someone who isn't in love. Now let's go back to what the guy was asking about when it comes to these shootings, when it comes to guns. Shouldn't we give a little ground? Now, listen, I could do this thing where I go through places that have these heavy gun laws and how they don't do any good. Right? Look at New York City. Look at New York City with these. I'm pretty sure it's still an automatic 2 years in the state pen if you get caught with a weapon in New York City. 2 years. No ifs, ands, or buts. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Right to the state clink for 2 years. People die by the dozen there. So I'm not picking on New York City. They're all like that. Chicago, all of them. They're all like that. Okay, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to point that out. Why can't we have a law? Shouldn't there be a way? Listen, this is going to be hard to hear, but we have to start thinking about the law and, frankly, law enforcement in different ways than we currently do, because things are different now than they've ever been. What do I mean by that? Well, let's talk about the law. Jesse, shouldn't there be a law? Well, a law, remember, what is a law? What is it? Piece of paper. That's it. It's a piece of paper. This piece of paper. Hey, there's a law against murder. I have it written down right here on this piece of paper. The law against murder. So if somebody kicks in the front door of my studio right now and aims a gun at me and I can't get to my Springfield Hellcat Pro fast enough to shoot him first, and I hold up this piece of paper, is it going to stop any of those bullets? No, of course not. You get what I'm saying. The law is nothing without the people who believe in it and people who enforce it and enforce it impartially. So I want you to listen to this. And I want you to listen well. NYU, one of the most prestigious evil universities in the United States of America. The Bar Association president, former president, I believe she got fired, but this is her. I think this is from yesterday or the day before. Now, set aside any emotion you have about Israel, Hamas, any of that. This lady, she's going to NYU. She's going to be a big time lawyer. She's going to be a judge. She might be a judge in your case. Now, do you think this lady can possibly enforce even the most perfect law in the way she should?
Do you condemn Hamas's actions on October 7th?
I think what I use my platform for and who I condemn was pretty clear by my message. And I think that I will continue to condemn apartheid and military occupation. And that in this moment, I'm focused on calling for an end to genocide and calling for an immediate ceasefire.
How do you think she's going to rule on that law that they passed? We don't have a legitimate justice system anymore in the United States of America. Our federal law enforcement is gone. They're all just the secret state police agencies now. Our judicial system is probably even worse. And our local law enforcement, especially in big cities, is fading fast as the good guys pack up and leave, and these departments get full of diversity hire turds. It's easy for me to say. I don't know why I couldn't get that out. So the days of there should be a law, they have to be behind us because there's nobody left to enforce it. I know that's hard to hear when we're scared. Nevertheless, it is what it is. All right. Now, one last thing on all this. Do these people like Dome, do they believe in grabbing the guns? We'll talk about that. But first, let's talk about something wonderful. That was all the ugly. Let's talk about something wonderful. I was getting ready to leave for the studio tonight to do the world famous Jesse Kelly show. And the wife said goodbye, but I could tell deep down. She was like, I love you so much. You're my hero. I know that's what she meant when she said goodbye. And then there was Fred. Because Fred has to be right there no matter what I'm doing. to get my attention, and so I snuggle with him before I leave. And I act annoyed, but man, is that not the best? And when I get home tonight, he's going to be right there. Is that not the best? Don't you want your dog to live as long as possible? I give Fred rough greens because I want Fred to live longer. I understand he doesn't get nutrition from his dog food. I understand unless I'm proactive about getting him nutrition, he will die years before he has to. I give him rough greens. I pour it on his food every single meal. They give out free Jumpstart trial bags. Start your dog on it now. Call 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I am so freaking excited. Now, and we're going to get to,
Biden and Biden being challenged in the presidential primary. We're going to get to that here in a few because there actually is something to this. There's something real. There's something. I know you don't care about Dean Phillips. I don't care about Dean Phillips. You don't even know who Dean Phillips is. He's the loser congressman who's running against Joe Biden, in case you're wondering. But it's more significant than you think. But I actually want to get to this question as we wrap up all this Second Amendment, Maine mass shooter talk. The guy says, Oracle of Oracles. And by the way, remember, you can email the show during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I saw Dome go into program mode about the Second Amendment gun nonsense after the last nutball shooter. Is it possible that Dome is incapable of understanding that she's following the commie playbook or that she is part of a system, or even if there is a system? What do you think? He says his name is George. In case you missed it, in case you missed last night's show, of course, in the wake of the mass shooting, the dirty commies in this country did what they always do. They stand on the still warm dead bodies and try to disarm you and grab more power for themselves. Here is the Vice President of the United States of America.
Gun violence has terrorized and traumatized so many of our communities in this country. And let us be clear, it does not have to be this way, as our friends in Australia have demonstrated.
Okay, let's talk about something. There are two different types of communists, as we have discussed many times. Let's just do this again briefly. Remember, there always have been. This has always been the case. There are street communist scumbags, and there are elite communist scumbags. Those are two different things. And it's important to understand something. The street communist scumbags mostly are actually true believers. They believe in their evil demonic religion. That's why they loot and murder and vandalize and rob people. And that's why they protest all the time. They are the true believers, the street communist scumbags. You can, over time, move from being a street communist scumbag to an elite communist scumbag. You want an example? Bernie Sanders used to stand on the corner. He was one of the street communist scumbags back in the 60s. Now Bernie Sanders is a United States senator. He has moved on. He's not at these protests anymore, kicking in doors, screaming in people's faces, vandalizing things. Now he's an elite communist scumbag. All right, so that's kind of the difference between the two. And this is going to come back to Dome. Just keep this in mind. However, let's acknowledge something. There are also divisions within those two divisions. Allow me to explain. Let's talk about the street communist scumbags. You've seen all the people out there. Lately, it's all been the pro-Hamas protests, but before that, it was the pro-St. George Floyd protests. So let's focus on those for a minute. George was the best. I love him. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, those street communist scumbags. Do you remember how many people there were who participated in those protests, though? It was amazing. Didn't it take you back? I mean, George Floyd died in Minneapolis. They're burning down New York City. They're torching cop cars in New York City. Wait, what? How are there this many people? Okay, well, let me explain. Yes, there are many, 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 many street communist scumbags who hate the country, who hate all that is good. There are, however, there's also human nature. What is that? Human nature is people love to do things the crowd is doing. And when the crowd is doing something for good or for bad, and it's oftentimes for bad, people who don't even necessarily know why they're there and people who wouldn't really do those things if they were alone will participate in those things because everyone's doing it. Want an example? There were many, many, many college kids who took part in the George Floyd protests. We know from interviews now afterwards who aren't even interested in politics and didn't even care about the incident with George Floyd. So why were they doing it? Why are you out there throwing bricks and burning things down? Well, it was Friday and all my friends were. Hey, Jesse, you want to come down? We're all getting together downtown to yell. I guess, sure. I didn't have anything else to do. I'll come down. And soon the mob mentality takes over. And here you are, someone who isn't even emotionally invested in it. And you're chucking bricks through windows of businesses. And there's another part of this. I'm not going to call them innocent bystanders, but the non-believers who participate, they're capable of the same horrors as the true believers who were participating. I will never forget it. I saw a documentary one time, and I'm sorry, I actually looked it up before the show, trying to find out what it was. This is 10 years ago I saw it. It was a documentary, and it was talking about the Cultural Revolution in Mao's China. You remember all the high school and college kids went and essentially beat 2 million people to death. Torture and death. It was horrible. And it, again, high school, college kids. Only this one wasn't your normal documentary that focused exclusively on the victims. Oh, I lost my dad. I lost my sister. I lost my mom. Everything. This one also, it had tracked down people who participated in the Cultural Revolution to interview them and ask them questions. Hey, how? Why? What did we do? And it hit me so hard back then. These people, they were young people at the time. They weren't during the interview process, but they were young people at the time. They were out there dragging teachers and landlords out of their apartments and beating them to death with nails that had, or ball bats that had nails in them. And very few, if any, could articulate why. Hey, you went to Chin's house over there and you beat him to death. Could you maybe elaborate? What did he do? why? And to their credit, they were all apologetic, but they really couldn't explain it. The mob mentality is part of what you see. That's part of the division in the street communist scum. Now, that was, I avoided answering the Kamala, the dome question the whole time, because there's a different part of it too. Now, let's deal with, that's the street communist scum. Now, let's deal with the elite communist scum. We're talking senators, CEOs, powerful people in government, entertainers, these lofty people who are never going to be out there setting fire to things, shooting people, hitting people. They'll finance it and they'll get up behind their microphones and they'll encourage it, but they're not going to actually participate in any of those kinds of things. Well, there are divisions within them too. Let's talk about that in just a second.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Do not call yet. Do not call yet. All right. I will let you know when it's time to open up the floodgates. A very rare, probably will never happen again, Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. That's emails and calls. But we still have a whole bunch of stuff to get to tonight. Now, I just want to finish up this thought because the guy had emailed in and he said, hey, Doan got up like they all do. Biden did. They all did it. They start gun grabbing right away. Does she believe? Is she a real communist? Does she know she's part of the system? Does she even know there is a system? How much are these people true believers? And so we were talking about the two different communist divisions, the elite communist scum and street communist scum. Set the street communist scum aside. We already covered that. If you missed that, you got to go download the podcast. Not going over it again. The elite communist scum. There are divisions there as well. Now, what do I mean by that? A lot of, many of the elite communist scum we have in this society, they started out as street communist scum. Remember, you know, I wrote the book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, and I'm really not plugging it. Go buy it if you would like. I'm glad you loved it. I'm glad it was a bestseller. I'm glad you loved it. But if you read the book, you read the chapter about our university system. And I'll tell you, during the research process, it was eye-opening for me, too. I knew a bit. I didn't know that much. Remember, the Weather Underground, 60s and 70s, the street communist group, they were blowing up cops and blowing up themselves and shooting people, a death squad. And a death squad that had a plan for America. Their plan was to separate at least 25 million Americans who think like you from the regular population to be re-educated and deprogrammed. And if they could not, they said these people need to be killed. They had a plan to execute 25 million Americans who think like you. Now, where are these Weather Underground terrorists today? They're not in prison. They are teaching at some of the most prestigious universities in the United States of America. You are sending Aiden, Jaden, and Braden and paying your money to be educated by street communists who have tried to murder 25 million Americans. They're senators now. CEOs. The street communist scum, if they play their cards right, they can eventually move into the realm of being elite communist scum. Now, do they actually believe? I would argue for the purpose of us, for the purpose of our country, for your purpose, my purpose, for saving America, for being anti-communist, I would argue it doesn't matter. What do I care if Dome actually believes in the grabbing of guns? She wants to grab the guns. Whether she actually believes in it or not is not really important. She wants to disarm me. So I would argue it doesn't matter. But for the purpose of answering the question, let's do this. Have you ever talked to an investment banker or one of these hotshot stockbroker types? You've seen movies about it, Wolf of Wall Street and the movie Wall Street and all these types. Well, I have a buddy and he's in that finance world. And he was telling me a story. I'm going to leave out the name of the company and I'm going to leave out all the names. But he was telling me a story one time at one of these hotshot New York City stockbroker firms. You've heard of them, trust me. And they had a program for every single one of their new hires.
every single one. You want to come be a stockbroker? Wear your $1,000 suit, get the pretty girls. You want to do all that? Drive a BMW or whatever those people drive? You had to participate in this. And what was one of the parts of that program? Get this. Get how horrible this would be. And if you're an investment guy, maybe you've had to do something like this for your firm, or maybe you work for this firm. They had to sit down and cold call names. What does that mean, cold call? That means you don't have a lead of some kind. Hey, Jesse Kelly down there in Houston, he put in an inquiry online and he sounds like he's interested in doing some investing. No. You don't have a lead. You basically pull out a phone book, if those even still exist today, and you start calling the names in the phone book, trying to sell them what you do. And if you wanted to be Johnny Big Shot with this investment firm, you know, eventually have the penthouse in Manhattan and the mansion in Florida and that type of, you want to be Johnny Big Shot? You're doing it. You sit down and you do it and you be successful. And it was just baked into the cake. That's part of the program. How does that translate to Dome? Well, for Dome, for Joe Biden, for all these people, doesn't matter, anybody, for all of these people, they understand if you want to continue participating in our government in a significant way, if you want to participate in the positions of power in any significant way in this country, then there are certain positions you have to take. There are certain things you must do, and it's not negotiable. It's not negotiable. You don't have an option. I don't care about your opinions on it. You want to be a stockbroker? There's the phone book. Make phone calls. You want to participate in the system? You want your system membership card? You want to be vice president? You want to go write a book and have someone buy 10 million copies? You want to go be an anchor on MSNBC? You want to do these things? Your position is guns are evil. We have to disarm them. Whether you believe that or not means nothing. You are required to take part in the program. Here's Jared Golden of Maine. This is him from yesterday.
I have opposed efforts to ban deadly weapons of war, like the assault rifle used to carry out this crime. The time has now come for me to take responsibility for this failure, which is why I now call on the United States Congress to ban assault rifles like the one used by the sick perpetrator of this mass killing.
I'm going to stop him there. Because I'm gonna play it again, the very beginning of it. You heard it, didn't you? I know you did. Listen to this. This guy got a phone call. And this interview, you hear all the cameras, you hear them all. This interview is his struggle session. He got a phone call, and this Democrat was told, you want that system membership card? You enjoying that? Guess what? You're about to give an interview. Listen to the struggle session. This is on me.
I have opposed efforts to ban deadly weapons of war, like the assault rifle used to carry out this crime. The time has now come for me to take responsibility for this failure, which is why I now call on the United States Congress to ban assault rifles.
What does he believe? Does he believe in banning assault rifles? Is he a true believer? Or does he think that's ridiculous? Well, back to what I was saying before, who cares? It doesn't matter if that's what he believes. It doesn't matter at all. The system of government we have in place, our evil communist system, it is a system that requires one position and one position only on guns. And many Republicans take part in this too. The gun is the bad thing. We have to regulate. We don't have enough laws. We don't have enough government involved. That is the system. That's the program you must participate in if you want to be big time stockbroker. You want your system membership card? Go take part in the struggle session, son. So there. That's how we answer that. Now let's address some big things. Like this guy challenging Joe Biden and leaving your car at the gas pump. Why would you do that when you go inside? Should you do that? All that, and we will get to calls. Don't call yet. All that and more is coming up in the next 2 hours. Now, you know what else is coming? Let me tell you what's coming. The best dry off experience you've ever had in your life. That's what's coming. You know why I know this is coming for you? Because I know you're not going to miss out on the Mai Tau sale. When MyPillow comes up with a new product, they're always dynamite, are they not? Every single time. Well, Mike Lindell got tired of towels that just push the water around or that feel like Reynolds Wrap. So he came up with MyTowels. They use this long staple Sherpa cotton. And if you ask me what that means, I will lie to you because I have no idea. All I know is these are the greatest freaking towels I've ever used in my life. And they're 50% off right now. You can get them as low as $29.98. How do you do that? How do you dry off with Jesse's towels? You have to go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse. Dry off like the pros, like me. What, Chris? MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or you can call 800-845-0544. Go get some My Towels. Now, are you ready for two wild hours? They're going to be fun. I'm warning you, but they're coming next.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jelly heads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.